Everybody knows the story, Luke chapter 2. We'll read the Bible story. And I was looking at my watch. Now, y'all, if you think I'm going to be done in 15 minutes, y'all are mistaken. I might not even get the first words out of this text out by that time. But I promise I'll not keep you too long. What are y'all doing sitting down? Stand up, right? We're fixing to read the word. Y'all train me. Well, see, we need each other, don't we? What did you do to the stand, brother? Dear Lord, I think it's time that we invest in another stand. All right, Luke chapter 2. This is what the Word of God declares. And I want to say thank you for the specials. Hard act to follow. Y'all sounded good. That encourages you. We need to get up and get ready. Amen. You believe that? Amen. Maybe this coming year is the year our Savior returns. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, and that this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. All went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, be taxed with Mary, his spouse's wife, being great with child. And so it was, while they were there, that the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Excuse me, because there was no room for them in the inn. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." It came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us go now into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Verse 20 says, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them." Let us pray. Father, I love you and praise you. I just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be here in your house with your people. Thank you, Lord. We come to honor and praise you, Lord, for sending the Redeemer into the world. We celebrate Christmas, Lord. May we be mindful of your gift of eternal life through salvation by the sacrifice of your Son. Lord, may our minds be focused on that today. And may we, the best we know how, honor you and praise you today as we worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, I pray you'll be with me as I share your word. Give me the words to say and those things you've laid upon my heart. I might say those things. Encourage your people. And Lord, I pray that if there be one here that knows not Christ, this would be the day. So have your way in our hearts and in this service. Forgive us of our sins. Of course, in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Be seated, please. Everybody knows this story. Before we would ever open gifts for the kids when they were growing up, this is what we read. because that's the true Christmas story. And I guess what I'm trying to get across to you is simply this. I was raised as a boy to love this story of Christmas. Amen. I love the story of Christmas. And even though I love the story, I was a lost boy and a lost man. And I didn't come to truly understand what the true meaning of Christmas was until I got saved. Now, after I got saved, wow, it really meant something. And let me say this morning, if you're under the sound of my voice and you've yet to call upon the Lord for salvation, you may enjoy Christmas and all of the lights and all of the trees and all the festivities and all of that. Nothing wrong with that. But until you know Jesus as your personal Savior, you don't know Christmas. This is the Christmas story. And as I was thinking about this morning, I was brought to a thought of a sad dad. His name was Abraham. And him and his son was on their way up a mountain to offer a sacrifice. And as they are making their way to the top of the mountain for the sacrifice, Isaac, his son, said, "Dad, we," and I'm paraphrasing, "Dad, we got wood. We got a fire. But where's the lamb?" And the father, Abraham's son, "Don't you worry about that. God will provide the lamb." And what we've just read here in Luke chapter 2 is the fulfillment of the promise God gave to the world that He would provide a lamb. And that lamb is God's only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. I want you to understand, in the garden, God made a promise to send a lamb into the world. Now, listen to me. It took literally 4,000 years from the garden up to the time Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And you say, "Well, why did it take God so long?" Listen, God's going to work on His time, not yours and mine. The point is this. You can count God faithful. If He says He's going to do something, He does it. Amen. So it took 4,000 years. And I find it amazing how God's hand is upon us. You know, the prophets prophesied that a redeemer, a governor, if you will, one would come into the world in a little tiny place called Bethlehem. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 for reference. And just as God said, guess what? The Savior, the Lamb, was born in Bethlehem. And not only that, understand, you see God's hand because Caesar Augustus was an old pagan ruler that lived thousands of miles away, but he decreed that everyone was to what? Be numbered for taxes, a census, if you will. And everyone had to go to the town of their birth. So, Joseph and his family, Bethlehem. And there him and Mary go. Even though Caesar Augustus may have been ruling at that day, understand, God was overruling. You see, God knew exactly and did exactly what He planned to do. This morning, it's by no accident that the Savior was born in Bethlehem because God said that would happen. His time is always perfect. Always remember that. Now, and it says, verse 6, "And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman." Amen. So, the Lamb, the Savior, Jesus Christ, God incarnate, came into the world. Look at the next verse. "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, I want to say a couple things about that verse, and I won't be long-winded. I'll try not to be, but there's a lot of stuff here that we can learn from and that'll preach, okay? First of all, he was born in a stable. Why? Because there wasn't no room for the Savior in the inn. We've all heard the story of the innkeeper. A lot of us like to jump on him. But understand, he's no different than the majority of the world today, because nobody seems to have time for Jesus. No one seems to have room in their hearts for Jesus. But notice, he was born in a stable. And they wrapped him in swaddling clothes. And understand, even through his birth, those swaddling clothes were something that you buried the dead in. Even through his birth, it points to his death on the cross for our sins. But not only was he wrapped in swaddling clothes, and by the way, there's another reason he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. One, because it pictured what he was going to do for the sins of the world. But two, it was a sign to those shepherds that when they came to the place, that's the Messiah that the angel said was born here in Bethlehem. Again, no coincidences with God. Now, he's laid in a manger. Now, I'm from the country, and I know what a manger is. It's called a trough. You ever slopped hogs? You had a trough. Amen. You ever fed cows? You had a trough. And if you've never had the privilege of slopping hogs, you don't know what you're missing. Amen. I tell you what, it'll make you glad you're on a diet. Amen. I always lost weight. But my point is this, it was a feed trough. A couple things. The bread of life was laid in a manger. And I'm here to tell you, he came to fill the hearts and lives of men, women, boys, and girls that are hungry. Amen. And again, Bethlehem is called the house of bread. That's what it means. And he was laid in a manger. Now understand also, he came, the creator of the universe. And this is what gets me every time. He created the universe and everything in it. All the treasures of the universe are his, lock, stock, and barrel. Understand, he came into the world poor for your sake and for my sake. In fact, it was the Apostle Paul that said, you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that for your sake he became poor that you might be rich. So he came humbly and poorly, born in the stable. He didn't come in pomp and stance and all of the hoopla of being rich and wealthy. He didn't come and be born in a palace. You know why he did it? Because he loves us. You see, had he been born in a palace and all of that, you and I would have never been able to approach him. But no, he humbled himself. Philippians chapter 2 tells us he came in the form of a servant, even though he owns it all. It's because he loves you and me. Now, the Bible says there's no room for them in the inn. And there in that same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Over there in the Judean hills, outside of Bethlehem, is a group of shepherds. The Bible calls them shepherds. And their job was to tend to flocks. Now, I want you to understand, these were common men. These were hard men. Shepherding was not an easy thing to do. In fact, they would be gone from home for long periods of time because they would have to find pasture to feed the flocks. And these men routinely were gruff, they were tough, and they were considered by the religious elitists of the day ceremonially unclean because they couldn't attend the temple and be cleansed. So they were thought kind of like the world thinks of folks living in deep, disgusting sin to those that have a religion and not a relationship. Oh, you're a vile sinner. Can I tell you something? This is what I'm thankful for. God loves you. He loves me. He loves everyone. And even though they were considered lowest of the low, in God's eyes, He loved them. And God chose them. And I've often wondered, why would God choose them old shepherds? He chose them because He loves sinners. In fact, He's a friend of sinners. So He chose these old lowly shepherds. They were gruff. They probably cursed. They probably sinned with the most of like everybody else. But He chose them to hear that glorious message. For unto you is born in the city of David a Savior. And I want you to know something about that message that the angel delivered. Notice it was a personal message unto you. And I'm thankful that that message was given to you and to you and to me and to everyone. It might be personal, but listen, it's for the whole world. Unto you. Now, people may not like you, might not like your lifestyle, how you live, what you do, where you come from. But you listen to me, doesn't matter what they think or they like. God loves you, and He sent His Son into the world to save you. He'll save you regardless of who you are, what you've done, your past. No problem with God. In fact, that's our problem. We all have a past. Amen? Now, it says, there they are, Judean hills. And the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Listen, the night sky was lit up because heaven visited the earth. And the angel of the Lord, and he had to have been pretty bright, comes before them. That light, that glory is shining all around him because he has an announcement he needs to make, and it scared them. I can tell you what fear is. Remember as a boy, I was hunting with my grandfather. And we came out of the woods and it was pretty much pitch dark. And got to the truck and there's an old abandoned church. Pulled into the parking lot. And anyways, make a long story short, and I got to make sure this is clean so nobody gets angry with me. Some of us had to use the restroom. So, Grandpa goes, all right, go back here behind the church. It's dark. No flashlights. No lights from the truck. Go back there. Oh, I'll just hold it. Go to the restroom. We're going to be a while. Go. I went back there. And a panther screamed out. A panther. I want you to know it didn't take me very long to get loaded in the truck. And I wasn't worried about my zipper being undone. Amen? And my grandfather, he laughed. He had tears in his eyes. I said, what was that? He goes, boy, that was a panther. I go, are there panthers in Hermitage, Arkansas? He goes, now, I was scared. I literally had a fear. I think I aged. I really do. I was probably 11 years old, but I think I aged. But that's fear. Well, you got to understand that's the same type of fear these shepherds had. These shepherds had a fear when they see the sky. It was dark, and now it's lit up. Glory of heaven. shining down. And an angel appears before them. And listen to the message. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Understand, for 4,000 years, the grip of sin had held men down. They were in bondage. They were under the curse. But now the angel of the Lord says, for unto you, this day, in the city of David, is born a Savior. Praise God for that wonderful message. Bondage and the curse will forever be done away with. Christ going to the cross and offering Himself to atone for our sins is finally going to deliver us from sin and its power to life everlasting. What a message. And that's the message we try to preach every Sunday and Sunday night. We try to teach every Sunday morning in Sunday school, every Wednesday night Bible study, because it's a message worth sharing to a lost and dying world. Now, notice what it says. The angel said to him, this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. Was it coincidence or accident? No. That's exactly how God, the shepherds beyond a shadow of a doubt, would know who He was talking about. You, beyond a shadow of a doubt, should know who He's talking about. Lord Jesus Christ, His Son. And notice, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And notice, begins with the angel of the Lord. Now the whole heavenly host begins to sing praises unto God. Amen. Praises unto God. I know I'll probably get in trouble for what I'm about to say, but I'll just have to be in trouble. I was a problem child, right, Mom? I assure you, when they were singing praises unto God, it was to glorify and honor God. It wasn't about Frosty the Snowman. It wasn't about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Amen? No. We could learn a lesson. Make Christmas what Christmas is. Teach your children what Christmas is about. Not just commercialized nonsense. You say, but Brother John, they're just kids. Yeah, they are. But you want to teach them what Christmas is all about. I'm not saying you can't put up a tree. What did I say Wednesday night in a program? When you look at that tree, remember the cross that Jesus died on. I'm not telling you can't put up lights. Of course, He is the light of the world. Be mindful of that. When you put gifts under the tree, we all like gifts. Put gifts under the tree. Remember God's greatest gift to us, His Son, the Savior. Teach them about Christmas. Do you realize that there's people out in the world today that have no clue? It's just tradition. And they look at it as the way the world looks at it. Time of merriment, changing gifts, trees, lights, and just another day off. That's not what Christmas is. So they're singing, praising God. And corporately, the angels are praising God for who He is, His majesty. And by the way, let us never forget who He is. And when we praise God and we show up in church to worship God, we need to praise Him. Remember His majesty, because He is God. The Bible says this, And it came to pass, as the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. Can you imagine, just for a moment, angel appears, delivers that a Savior is born in Bethlehem, tells them what to look for. They begin praising God corporately. And after they're gone, the shepherds didn't sit down and debate, well, did we just see something? Did we hear what we thought we heard? No, they said, let's get up and go see what the angels said was waiting for. And they went to Jerusalem, and guess what they found? Just what the angel said they would find. Understand. The devil would like nothing more than for you to be tripped up about, is it real or not? There's only one way you're ever going to know, for sure. And that's by coming to Jesus Christ in faith, receiving Him. And then you'll understand, yeah, it's real. You see, when I got saved and when you got saved, you and I can be in agreement that, oh, what a difference it made. You see, the story about Christmas is real. The Savior came into the world to die for me. It's real! Lost person, the devil wants you to argue. These shepherds left their flocks and went. No debating, no arguing, they just went. Because it was an action word, as my wife said. It was faith that they left upon. They just trusted that what the angel said was true. I'll ask you, you believe the Savior? You believe the Word of God? You believe the what the angels said? Oh, I do. Let us go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which told them concerning the child. Now, remember, lowest of low, these old dirty, rotten shepherds. But now they come, they see the babe laying in a manger. They see the Ancient of Ages laying there in the form of a baby. They see that lamb that had been promised before the foundation of the world laying in a manger, and now they're changed. They're not the same. How do I know they were changed? Because the Bible says as they went back, everybody they came in contact with, guess what? They told them of what had happened. Now, I would like to think some of those people that they ran across believed their report. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say, but they were telling somebody. And even though the whole city of Bethlehem had no clue what was going on, I can't help but think somebody had to have wanted to see if those things were so or not. You say, well, what are you trying to say? Simply this, when a person truly comes contact with Jesus, you can't keep that in. You have to share it. You have to share it. Amen. You may not shout. You may not do somersaults in the aisle, but I want you to understand something. You will tell someone what God has done for you because you'll want them to have that same thing that you have. Not only that, you can't help it. It's got to leak out. Every now and then. Amen? But the point is this. They told others. Who you tell? When's the last time you told somebody about the lamb that was provided on Christmas 2000 years ago? No, I'm not going to argue with you what day he was born on. There's lots of that in school. not worth arguing over. Christmas has been set aside for the day that we worship His birth. That's okay with Him. He's going to get glory every day. Because for us that are born again, it's Christmas every day. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now, look at verse 20. And the shepherds returned. What were they doing? Glorifying and praising God. What were the angels doing? Glorifying and praising God. You see, the angels, when the heavenly host was praising God, they were praising Him for who He was. The shepherds are praising Him for what He's done for them. That's why it's important. We come to church and we worship God and we praise Him. Because if He's saved you, He's done a mighty work. And believe me, that and that alone. Yes, there's 10,000 other things we could praise Him for. But our salvation, just that alone, deserves us to praise Him. Let me tell you a little something about praising Him. The Bible says that when we are the children of God, that we have something in us that we just can't keep quiet about. You know what it is? It's called joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. Joy unspeakable. Beloved, we should be shouting at the top of our lungs. Wednesday morning when we get up with our kids and our loved ones, we should shout at the top of our lungs, praise God for sending the Lamb. You prepared Him. Now you have provided Him. What a Savior. Now, I'll close with this. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. I said it earlier as I opened up the message. Growing up, we loved Christmas. We were taught that. And yes, we were taught about Jesus coming into the world. We were taught the right things. Not about Frost, but Jesus. But you see, understand, even though I grew up in a home that taught what Christmas was truly about, I didn't understand Christmas. I didn't know Christmas. Until I got saved. After I got saved, I know what Christmas means. Now, if you're saved, you can relate. But if you've yet to trust Jesus as your Savior, you have no clue what I'm talking about. You don't have an understanding of what Christmas truly is. Oh, you can love December 25th, you can love all of the festivities and all the lights. You can love all of that kind of stuff. But if you don't know Jesus, you don't truly understand Christmas. I'm here to tell you this morning as a close that if you will come and kneel before Him and invite Him into your heart, He will save you. And oh, you will fully understand then the true meaning of Christmas. And I assure you, it doesn't matter your past, doesn't matter your family, doesn't matter what you've done, who you are, where you are in the world, as far as society's rung on the ladder, doesn't matter at all. What really matters, what only matters, is you know Him. And He knows you. Do you know Him? Do you truly understand the real meaning of Christmas? a lamb was provided. Took a little while in God's time, but he performed that which he said he would do. Read Genesis chapter 3. Right then and there, God promised the world that he would provide a lamb. He did. 2,000 years ago. Do you know the lamb? Only you can answer.